You with the English Breakfast. The time is 12 past 8. That was the Smashing Pumpkins and Mayonnaise. An old classic there for everyone. All right, on the phone, direct out from the UK, we have King Ads. Morning.
Good morning.
How you going, mate?
I'm good. I'm just still recovering from my weekend in Amsterdam.
Oh, mate, okay. Well, tell us about it. How was it?
Oh, it was absolutely amazing. We did a street knowledge book launch at the Hotel V, and you couldn't get any more people in there if you'd wanted to. It was a typical Amsterdam reception to something of, you know, street culture, something to do with street culture, because, you know, they love it over there.
Nice one. Now, I'm sitting here with my colleague Alexander, who's a big fan of your book.
Oh, hi, Alexander.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. All good.
You survived. That's great.
Oh, yeah, no. I've been around the world 10 times, and writing the book was one of the big adventures, and going to all those mad spots and emerging cultures, looking at street culture, the whole story, not just street art, but the music, the fashion, and the whole picture of street culture is what the book was about.
Yeah.
And that's the main point. I mean, I got labelled a few years ago as the guy who wrote about street art, and then that's when I came out with the Urban Cookbook, which was about food and travel, and so when I approached street knowledge, I knew I had to go back to 1959 to Jamaica and show the whole picture to people who had just discovered Banksy, like last week, because
mm-hmm.
there's so much more there. It's you know, the whole, the culture as a whole, it's like an ever spinning circle, and sometimes one side of it is exposed, and at the moment that side is the street art bit, and sometimes it's the fashion, sometimes it's the music, sometimes it's like the design or the media, like with people like David Carson and
mm-hmm.
Tony Kay.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the whole picture is important, and I also spend time working in advertising, hence the name King Ads. And for me, they go hand in hand, discovering about youth culture and then creating good communication that actually connects to people, because that's what it's about for me.
Mm-hmm. How was your book received by the average kind of audience that we had just in the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, all over the world, it's kind of, there's a connection there, whether I'm in Israel or doing something in Glasgow or Amsterdam. I mean, the Dutch were really surprised to come to a party and see the writer cooking for them for like 2 hours.
Yeah, you made some pasta, didn't you?
Yeah, we did free food, free beer and free vodka, which for me is quite a good, you know, that's a fair proposition. You come and do that and then you spend however many euro on a book. You know, that's better than just me sat behind a table with a going by the book, I'll sign it. How boring is that? I mean, that's the point of the book, is it's exciting. It's not your usual book. It's the kind of encyclopedia of an energy that we can't really describe, but I'm trying to show a journey of how it's developed into and influenced everything, because street culture is not just, you know, it's not about graffiti, it's not about ghetto, although that's been in there at some point. It's not 50 cents with a bottle of Courvoisier. You know, in the book there's a very beautiful David LaChapelle photo, or three of them, and he's been influenced by the street, but his stuff now has transgressed it, but the influences are still there, and that's what I'm kind of trying to show in the book.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dutch loved it. They thought I was, you know, they thought it was interesting. You know, you have to surprise people, and then they look at you differently. And everyone was happy. The bookshop, American Book Center, who organized it, they were happy. They sold a lot of books.
They did a great job there.
Yeah, I mean, they've done really well on my previous titles, and me and Rick are mates, and he was instrumental in setting it up, and we just ran with it. And it was a good team, you know. There weren't any people on it. You know, sometimes in publishing and in other, you know, advertising, there's people who are there that shouldn't be there, and because this was organised from the heart and we loved every angle of it, whether it's the launch or the book, it was cool. Everyone pulled their weight and it was a great, great night.
Who are you most happy to have in your book? Because you mentioned Banksy earlier.
Yeah,
and some
Banksy's
people have
cool. I mean, if it wasn't for Banksy, half of this wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I like, for me, the pleasures we're working with. I mean, Irvin Welsh wrote the foreword. I mean, how's that? So that was pretty cool. And Tamla Janovitz, who wrote Slaves of New York. I love all the new stuff in the book for guys from Haifa and Tel Aviv and Iran and Australia. I love all the guys who are from emerging talent
mm-hmm.
cultures.
Mm-hmm.
But I also love the old school heroes who, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't even be doing this. Tony Kay, who I work with, he's in there. He's of God. I mean, you know, sometimes this job is discovering new stuff. Sometimes it's meeting heroes. And, you know, like I said, Tamla Janovitz, Tony Kay, David LaChapelle. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you can't
mm-hmm.
really get better than that.
I would never imagine him to be in your book. I mean, for me,
David LaChapelle,
he's a star in photography, and suddenly he's in your book alongside all the other graffiti guys. How did that? Figure out the mixture of people that you finally put in your book, and who did you leave out for purposes that you know that we don't know?
Yeah. I mean, you don't know who didn't go in. I mean, David LaChapelle's in there because he started out. I mean, he blew up by shooting all these hip hop stars,
mm-hmm.
like Eminem naked with a stick of dynamite over his cock, you know what I mean?
That's not your average kind of graffiti, is it?
No, but it's hip-hop. I mean, the point is that graffiti was one element. Hip-hop has four sides to it. It has graffiti, breaking, MCing, and DJing.
Mm-hmm.
And graffiti is what mutated into street art, and then street art's what's, you know, the big influence now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, the way I picked all the talent was what hit my gut. I mean, I'm 41 now, and I've learned that. I know what's good when I see it for me. I mean, I set the book up by saying, look, this is just my point of view.
Can I ask you a question? Did you see this film that Banksy made last, Access Through the Gift Shop?
Oh yeah.
In which many of what is really going on in the streets in the night. Is shown in live footage taken from this really crazy French guy who lives in California.
Yeah.
And that accounts for the reason why only people just now got to know so many of these people, like, what's his name? I saw this tag of his...
Shepard Fairey.
Invader.
Space Invader. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that film? Have you seen it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I know Banksy, he's one of the cleverest guys I know. He's a genius writer. Forget the art. The concepts and the ideas he have is, I mean, he is up there and he will be up there. He's going to continue rising. The reason why this film is so good is because instead of just making a feature about street art, he made a feature about how street art's been ruined. And it happens to every culture. With rave culture, the gangsters came in and ruined it. They rinsed it. With the street art scene, they've done the same. And this film's a really good documentation of how when something real comes along and happens, whether it's raving, skating, hip-hop, you name it, when the youth and street culture comes along and something's exciting, there are always these money men and hipsters circling who want to get in there, whether it's for fame or money. And Mr. Brainwash?
Yeah, well, that's what he calls
himself. He's just a fucking twat who went, oh, I want to be famous. Because when you see his work in the film, I mean, he does exist. Let me tell you this. First thing someone in Holland said to me is, oh, it's all set up. I mean, there's this conspiracy theory, but no, he does exist. I know him.
Mm-hmm.
I know Space Invader, his cousin,
mm-hmm.
who obviously has distanced himself from him.
Mm-hmm.
But the interesting point about that film is that Banksy's saying, I used to tell everyone I meant to paint, I don't anymore. He shows how Terry, Mr. Brainwash, totally rinsed everything and created this big thing out of nothing. And even though the art was shit, people are still paying hundreds of thousands of pounds today.
He made $1 million in one night.
Yeah, but he also spent $1 million. He spent over $1 million on that show. Yeah?
Okay.
So he didn't make it.
No.
He took it, but the budget, because lots of people worked on that show. That's a big place.
Yeah.
And he had about 10 staff, and you know, he had to buy all those books where he had to copy the ideas from. Remember that? That was probably about 30 quid as well.
Yeah.
but the point he was making that even when a name, a talent as big as Banksy is saying, this art is not art, it's shit. Because he says, what do you say to someone about their work when everything, when they show you it and everything about it is shit? That's the best quote from the film.
Yeah.
Because it is. And this culture at the moment, everything's brilliant. You can be famous, go on X Factor, MasterChef, whatever. Everyone has the capability to be a celebrity stroke star and rich and famous. That's bullshit. And what this film's doing is showing you that how Mr. Brainwash has hijacked something that he was linked into. Yeah, he was making a film, but he couldn't because, you know, he had all that footage. He didn't know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And even though that someone as big and as influential as Banksy is saying he's not part of the scene, some idiot like Madonna goes and gets him to do her greatest hits cover. He's just sold a painting.
Who's that, Madonna?
Madonna asked Mr. Brainwash.
Yeah, I know. Well, she's quite famous.
Yeah, she's a fucking idiot. I mean, this is typical of Madonna. The reason why she's still up there.
So you said you wouldn't swear, mate.
Sorry, mate.
Just kidding.
I forgot
mate, keep it going.
Anyway, thing about Madonna is this is typical of her. Like, she's where she is because she sees authentic cultures, and then whether it's a producer or an artist or whoever, okay, or a designer, like when she hijacked what Gaultier was doing, you know, this is so typical of her, and this time she's picked the right lemon and she's got brainwashed to do her thing. And this is showing you how clueless it is, and I think that's one of the things that Banksy was setting up when he did the film.
Mm-hmm. It was very
It was a great film. I mean, it exceeded all my expectations. It was better than there's a lot of street art movies out there, and they're all really, really fucking boring because they go, oh, this is Berlin, and I'm going to go out and we do a painting and someone gets caught or falls off a ladder. And then, oh, this is Paris. And before you know it, you're zoning out and you think, when's it over? But what Banksy did was create a narrative, which none of these things have.
It was
okay. It was pretty good. Hey, listen, what do you think of the Amsterdam scene in terms of street culture and hip hop?
Yeah. Well, the Amsterdam scene's always really been. It used to be about stickers more than anything. When I started coming here, 10, 15 years ago, there was a lot of stickers, right? And the Amsterdam scene's always been really, really important because of the marijuana laws. And a lot of artists came over. I mean, it's been relaxed somewhat around the world, but a lot of artists used to come over because they'd go and do a bit of street work and get mullered and stumble around the red light, which for me is so boring. But back then, it was an important part. So Amsterdam's got a lot of clout because people, it's always had that edge because of its relaxed laws to whatever. So that breeds sort of good work. And there's people like the London Police who are absolute gods. There's Laser 3.14, who you can't miss walking around Amsterdam. I mean, he is up. If anyone's up in Amsterdam, it's Laser.
he's there. He's every street corner.
Yeah. And that's quite typical of something coming out of Amsterdam. It's graffiti, but it has a twist. It's original. It's got some poetry in there. It's not just a tag. It's a tag, and then it gives you something to walk away with, to think about. And for me, you know, I've got much respect for the original graffiti guys in New York, and I know a couple of them, but for me, I'm not interested in it anymore. I have to show it, and I pay my respects to it, because there wouldn't be a street scene without it. It would look totally different. So hats off to them. But the guys that I'm interested in are the writers and film directors, people like Habercrats, who are from Amsterdam. They're an advertising agency that makes films, that makes TV. They do some blinding work. And they're very much influenced by street culture, just almost without knowing, you know. And that's a kind of effortlessness that comes out of Amsterdam, because Amsterdam's a very relaxed place, you know. They're very polite, they speak English, and, you know, they have good taste when it comes to street culture. And, you know, maybe I tricked them when I came over, and that's why they like me. But, you know, I always do well. The American Book Center is a good spot for me, and that's because, you know, the cool Dutch girl Amsterdam, and it's, you know, the weather's not too different to here.
Nice one. Hey, listen, we're running out of time, unfortunately, but tell me, where, if people want to get your book, I assume they can just rock up to the American bookstore and find it there on the spot. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always online at all those online book retailers. But the American Book Center in Amsterdam is the best place to get it, because, one, they, you know, the staff there are really helpful, and they've got there's a few copies in there, and they'll get more after the weekend or after next week, but they can go this week and get it. That's what it's all about.
One question. When is your next book coming out? Because you told me you were going to other territories in the world where they didn't have so much exposure. Yeah, but that was quite interesting, your idea for that book.
Yeah, the emerging territories.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2 years probably.
In 2 years. So we'll have you back here in Amsterdam and in the studio, live.
In 2 years,
so people
I'll
can
be
see
back.
Your face.
Yeah. The whites of my eyes. I'm doing the merge. I mean, there's always a few projects on. I've got some commercial work on, but the book, the next book, it's
okay.
One of them is the Emerging Territories book, which is where all the exciting stuff really happens.
Well, we'll be happy to have you.
Nice.
Excellent.
One.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
No worries. Thanks, kiddies. Right. It's been a pleasure as always. Thanks, mate. See you later.
Mate. Cheers.
Okay. Bye bye. All right. The time is 8:29. That's an exclusive, Alexander. Tell you what, that's a good interview.
Yeah. I don't even have the fucking book on me.
Oh, where's the book?
Sorry, audience.
Someone nicked it. Somebody already nicked
my book.
If anyone knows who nicked Alexander's book, then
bring it back.
Exactly.
It's signed by King Ed.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
all right, so
we're
going to some Shapeshifter. We're going to X the news for 8:30, and then we're going to come back and speak about IDFA, yeah?
Cool.
Nothing better. International Documentary Film Festival Amsterdam. After this one by Shapeshifter, this is one to tell.